This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning on this rather somber day.
Boker Tov, yes, before we start talking about Yom HaShoah V'Hagvura, the Memorial Day for Holocaust victims and, of course, the heroism, I just wanted to bring listeners into some of the conversation and debate that's been going on in some of the highest echelons in Israel. And in particular, this is a conversation that took place not last night, but the night before at the Security Cabinet. And it was Defense Minister Israel Katz who stood up and said that Israel would no longer allow humanitarian aid to enter Gaza as it had been entered, as it had been allowed to enter Gaza previously. He said that instead, aid will be introduced to Gaza or reintroduced to Gaza and will be distributed either by Israeli soldiers or American companies. That was the way that Israel Katz saw the next step of introducing humanitarian aid to Gaza. And then IDF Chief of Staff Eyal Zamir stood up and said that he will not allow IDF soldiers to distribute humanitarian aid, and he will not allow them to starve the Gaza Strip. So Zamir doesn't want his soldiers to be involved in the distribution of humanitarian aid. Why? Because Zamir believes that the primary task of the IDF soldiers in Gaza is to free the hostages, and he doesn't want to detract from that particular role. So then Bezalel Smotrich, the Minister of Finance, said that Zamir has nothing to say about this because the army's mission, he said, is chosen by the political echelon and not by the military. And said Bezalel Smotrich to Zamir, if you're not capable, then we will find somebody else who is capable to carry out the tasks that are imposed upon the army by the political echelon. Now, I don't know what transpired after that and what the conclusion of this particular debate was, but I think it does give us a little bit of insight and shine a little bit of light into what is going on at some of the highest levels of Israeli government and what the different views are about the things that are going on in Gaza right now. For me, that was quite an educational read, and I hope that listeners found that interesting as well.
Yeah, it really is, and it does show the complexity of the situation there. Anthony, today is a Remembrance Day for victims of the Holocaust and heroism. What's the mood in Israel? What events are taking place throughout today?
The mood is very somber. The atmosphere changes dramatically. It's difficult to appreciate, if you haven't experienced it, how much the entire environment changes. Programming on TV changes. Radio programs don't broadcast upbeat music, if any music at all. Places of at one point, public places were often closed, restaurants and gyms and things like that. I know, for example, that last night, many of the gyms around Israel closed early, 5-6 o'clock yesterday afternoon. The gyms will be open today, but the instruction is no music. So all the usual activities at the gyms and in the restaurants and coffee shops and things like that may well go ahead, but all very, very low key, no music, a real sign, a real day of mourning. And it's about remembering the victims of the Holocaust, but it's also about remembering their heroism. And the heroism is kind of built into the day because we've chosen this day because it is the anniversary of the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto, the uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto. And that is one of the main heroic events that we can bring from the days of the Shoah to show that people were defiant and people fought against the system as much as was physically possible. In spite of all the disadvantages, people were absolutely defiant. And that's why this is the anniversary day. And that's why the whole element of heroism is rebuilt into everything that we think about and everything that we do today. Now, the day started actually last night at sunset. The opening ceremony of Yom HaShoah V'Hagvura took place in the Warsaw Ghetto Square at Yad Vashem, the Institute for the Remembrance of the Holocaust in Jerusalem. The opening address was a little late because the Prime Minister's motorcade had been delayed on its way to Yad Vashem. And the reason that it was delayed was because the security establishment was concerned that there was an unidentified drone that seemed to be in the area of Yad Vashem exactly around that time that the Prime Minister was approaching to be present at the opening of Yom HaShoah V'Hagvura. His motorcade was stopped along the way until the all clear was given and he was able to progress in order to finally arrive at Yad Vashem. President Herzog opened the address, and it was interesting that President Herzog's speech was more focused on elements are from within trying to create disunity. And his comment was that history will not forgive those people who have been trying to destroy Israel from within. Prime Minister Netanyahu's address drew parallels between the Nazis and Hamas. And you don't need to be very creative in order to understand how close that link really is. And there are people who suggest that what we are going through right now and what we have been going through for the last year and a half, and particularly for our 59 hostages who are on day 566 of their incarceration in Gaza, they are experiencing a Shoah. What they are going through is potentially worse than what the Hebrews experienced during the slavery in Egypt, and potentially worse than many of the victims of the Shoah had to endure during those long, hard, and dark years when Jews were indiscriminately massacred at the hands of the Nazis and their helpers. And of course, the anti-Semitism that we have seen on the streets of the world are very much similar to the anti-Semitism that was experienced during the days of the Shoah. And the supreme irony of all of the story is that the organization called the United Nations was established in the wake of the Shoah, and one of the main contributing factors to the establishment of the United Nations was to ensure never again, to ensure that something like that could never happen again. Well, if one wants to measure the success of an organization or the failure of an organization, then it wouldn't be difficult to measure the failure of the United Nations, because not only have we experienced it again and again and again, but in fact, the facilities of the United Nations were actually used in order to perpetrate the massacre that we experienced. So, for example, the vehicle that Hirsch, Goldberg, Pollin, and other people who were kidnapped into Gaza, the vehicle that was used to take them from Nova to Gaza, was a United Nations vehicle paid for by the organization that was established to exactly prevent something like that from happening. And we know that schools and other facilities in Gaza have been used to perpetrate this massacre. So we have a look at this and we have to draw some conclusions. We can't separate the Shoah from what we are going through and what we've experienced over the last 18 months. In terms of what's happening today, there will be a siren in approximately an hour from now at 10 o'clock Israeli time. That equates to 9 o'clock in South Africa. We will stop for 2 minutes to honor the memory of those who have fallen in the Shoah, and dare I say, in our current war as well, to honor their memories, because there are such close links. And I've seen it written that if we had to stand a minute's silence for every victim of the Shoah, we would stand silent for 11 and a half years.
Oh, my word.
That is a very, very chilling thought. So I do encourage people to join in an hour from now, to stand silent, to recall the victims, to rethink a little bit about what we're experiencing now, to try and draw the parallels, and let's try and learn some lessons if we haven't learned them already. I think it's a good time now to try and think about what lessons we may be able to learn from everything that we've experienced, making the Shoah so much more real to us as a result of what we've been going through over the past year and a half.
Absolutely. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas has issued strong condemnation of Hamas. He did. I was telling listeners about it earlier. He did. But at the same time, he couldn't help himself but just swipe again and again at Israel. Stop giving them a pretext, is what he said. In other words, He just couldn't condemn Hamas without making it making Israel, trying to make Israel look bad. What gave rise to his comments?
Well, this is a very, very ironic kind of a situation, because we do know that Fatah and Hamas have been at loggerheads with each other for the longest time. They've never been friends. We know that Hamas created some sort of a coup against Fatah when they controlled the Gaza Strip. And we know that they've been rivals, political rivals and military rivals almost since the day that Hamas was created. But yet, when it has come to the issue of Israel, they somehow found a way to create this notion of Palestinian unity, to unite against Israel, to become a more of a united front, to combine forces. On the other hand, and playing a slightly different card, Mahmoud Abbas has been very much cooperative with Israel from a security perspective, because he understands that his future existence and the future existence of the Palestinian Authority in its current format very much depends upon cooperation with Israel, financial support, and everything else that comes with that. So he's always been trying to play both sides of this particular game, at sometimes being very cooperative with Hamas, playing the card with Hamas against Israel, at other times cooperating with Israel, trying to build himself up in order to be able to rival and to be able to stand up to Hamas. And the threat that Hamas presents to him and his rule within the Palestinian Authority. But I think now there's a slightly different element that's been introduced, and that is the U.S. administration and the extent to which the new U.S. administration has been very tough about the way in which it treats Hamas. And also add to that the recent events in Jordan, where the Jordanian government has now decided to ban the Muslim Brotherhood, which has quite a close link to Hamas. So I think that all of these different aspects have come to contribute towards Mahmoud Abbas standing up yesterday and saying that Hamas are sons of dogs. That was the terminology that he used, sons of dogs, and has called upon them to hand over the hostages. He did mention the American hostages.
Yes, I was just going to ask you. He only seems to care about the Americans, which means he doesn't care at all. He cares about Trump, maybe.
Well, I think that he cares about what implications there might be for the Palestinian Authority if they don't have support of the US administration. So, of course, he spoke about the American hostages, but he also, I think, spoke about the hostages without mentioning American ones. And he said, sons of dogs, hand over the hostages and end the matter. And then what you said before was quite right, which is that he's basically saying all of this in order to allow to be able to criticize Israel, which he wouldn't miss an opportunity to be able to do, defending the Palestinian cause. And of course, by that, he means really fighting against Israel. But I think that there's also a subtext to this. And of course, Mahmoud Abbas's Fatah party is very much in the frame right now to potentially take over ruling Gaza. I wonder whether he doesn't potentially smell that Hamas is on the verge of being eliminated. And to try to use that opportunity to build Fatah up and to promote Fatah, because, of course, he does have Hamas elements within the Palestinian Authority who are a potential risk to his rule there. So all of this is very, very interesting. The timing is very interesting. And I'm sure that we still haven't seen the end of that particular story.
Absolutely not. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Thank you for another incredible week of Israel Reporting. Wishing you a fantastic weekend and Shabbat Shalom. And you can catch the Israel Report with Anthony Reich at 7:45 on Monday.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.